Today I'm chatting with Melissa Kirk, who's a personal empowerment coach for entrepreneurs, guiding them in the business to the next level of success by getting to the root of what's holding them back. Melissa believes you need to get aligned with your goals and stop the mind game. So we chat a little bit about mind games. She also does this really cool thing in reading hands. She read my hands. And you'll get to hear what she said. She's also an expert in human design. I give you Melissa Kirk. Welcome to the show, Melissa.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Now, you're a coach, you're a personal empowerment coach. What's your journey to getting there? What was the before and after of Melissa, and what? Why are you doing what you're doing now?
Yeah, it has been quite a journey. When I look over my whole life, you know, I wonder, you know, I was married for 20 years and in a pretty abusive relationship. And when I finally had the courage to leave, I was really I had lost myself. Right. I didn't know who I was, what I liked. I didn't know what I was good at. And I really had to start from scratch and find out, what am I here for? Because I have always liked helping people. I've always felt like my presence makes an impact, but I wanted to find some fulfillment in my life. And I really needed to figure myself out, fix me. So I started on a journey where I was, I was doing healing work. I was doing massage therapy. And as I was doing the massage therapy, I was really good at tuning into what was really wrong with people and what was going on, you know, on a higher level, or, you know, what represented in the body and what it meant. And what I found too was that when I would tell people that this is amiss in your body, and they'd go to the doctor and the doctor would say, you're fine, or they couldn't explain, or they didn't know how to treat it. So then I started looking at all different types of modalities of how to heal the body. And part of that journey was to heal myself. And then part of it was also working with my clients. And so I just went on this journey of healing the body, learning. And part of that was through mindset work. And so then I really started to understand the power of the mindset and how we're creating our whole reality. And I was looking at my life going, well, I created this because this sucks and I don't like it. I wouldn't have done that, right? So then you have to learn, like, it's not about a conscious creation, but just about who you are. And if you want to have your life different, you have to be different. And so then I came across scientific hand analysis that put me on
hands.
Yes. And so I read hands too. Of course, everything I did, then I learned how to do it. So I spent a lot of years learning how to do scientific hand analysis. And what it taught me was that, you know, all the things that I was doing weren't really like in alignment with who I was. And so I started more aligning with them. Yeah. So I do astrology, I do human design, and I do hand analysis. And when you put all of those together, my whole design is about my verbal message and communication and how I take complicated information and make it easy to understand. And I'm designed to be a teacher. So
making something complicated simple.
Yeah.
Light bulb moments. Brilliant definition. Love it.
So at that time, I was mostly doing massage and healing work. And here I am in a dark room all day with one person. I'm not supposed to talk, and I'm here for a verbal message. So I realized this is why my life isn't really working. I'm not getting to where I want to go because I'm out of alignment. So that's what I helped my clients do, is I start getting them really to understand them. I have a psychology degree. And when we went through, you know, when I was in college, learning about all the different modalities and personality profiles and things like that, they're gathering the information from questions that you answer. And so I realized like how much I didn't know myself. And so it's not always accurate, right? Because it's still filtered through you. And when you do the things that I do now, it's your soul design. It's like what you came in with. And yes, a lot of times we're conditioned to be something else, But you can really get back to your essence and find the fulfillment and satisfaction in your life that, you know, I don't think I ever would have found if I didn't start digging into who I was. So that's kind of how I've gotten to where I am. And I use all that information to help my clients to be in their proper role in their business, learn how to hire people, learn how to maneuver through relationships, and just create understanding. You know, and one of the questions I get a lot is, well, is this person's chart match with mine? And, you know, one of the things in my marriage, yeah, because you can make anything work if there's understanding, right? It's when we have expectations and put things on other people that isn't in their wheelhouse because, you know, and when you start to honor and respect who they are and learn who they are on a deep level, and then everyone feels seen, everyone gets, you know, in their glory, everyone lives their gifts, then everything changes. So that's what I love doing with my clients. In a nutshell.
I can tell you just completely lit up as you talk about it.
Yeah.
So can you analyze hands by Zoom?
Yeah, I can. So a lot of what the purpose and your spiritual foundation, and then the problem that keeps repeating in your life, that's in the fingerprint patterns. But but you know,
if I hold my hands up right now, you can't give me a quick live on air.
You could turn them around. Let me see the palms. So that
here we go. She's going to demonstrate right now. This is unscripted. My hands.
Okay. Yeah. So see, we'll just talk about your heart line. Okay. Both of your heart lines.
Navigate the microphone. Yeah. Here.
So you're very passionate about what you do and what you think. And so you have passionate heart lines. So it's fiery, right? So you probably have a pretty fiery personality in relationship, but you're also a thinker. The shape of your hands are really airy. So you like to think and process and debate and things like that. But then you're really here to live your passions. You're really here. Kind of how your heart line is shaped. You have some, maybe as you grew up, you were taught that you were supposed to take care of people and taught how to be like the hostess with the mostest, but it probably isn't like your favorite thing. You really want to live your passions, but you think you're supposed to take care of everybody. So see, now when you know that, you can start living more authentically for yourself, but you can also hone in on why something's not working in your life. Because if you're trying to be taking care of people and like, and you're not doing what you want to do, it's not going to work in your life. You got to do you. And then afterwards, if you're fulfilled doing you and you have permission for that, then you're willing to take care of other people. But the way you're designed, you have to take care of you first. And see, that's not really acceptable, right? Because we're taught not to be selfish. And people label that as selfish when it's really just self-awareness, right? And self-care. So that's what I like to have my clients do, is reframe it in their mind that this is self-care. It's not selfish. And that I'm way more willing to do for others and have a lot to give to them when my cup is filled first. And so as long as you run your life like that, you'll find fulfillment. And people around you will get taken care of, and it helps to create good boundaries. So that's kind of a little glimpse of how you use it.
You turned my unique hands into a lesson for us all. I love that. So did you, were there any other... I mean, you stepped out of your marriage, you were questioning everything. But were there any other pivotal aha moments that you've had that have got you on the journey where you are now?
Yeah, you know, when I started doing human design, it really made a lot of things make sense. Because one of the things in human design, there's five different types. And my type is a very busy, energetic, can't sit still, Like, I'm not antsy, but I always have something to do. Like, it doesn't matter. I try to scale back and not do so much, but my day is always filled with one thing after another. And my ex, he's not an energy type. And so when my ex, he couldn't keep up with me, right? But it became a contention, a point of contention, because I didn't understand that he just can't. He physically can't. And so I just thought he was lazy, right? And I always thought he was always holding me back because I still had more energy for the rest of the day. I still wanted to do stuff and he didn't want to. And so that's where I feel like if we had had the understanding of who I am and who he is, and then we were allowed to be us, right? Because what would happen is he didn't want to do anything, so he didn't want me to. And I'm sitting here going, I still got to do stuff. So if there was, that's what happens when you get your charts read together, is you see where you complement each other, where one is really good at something and where the other one might be better at something else. So for instance, like in my chart, I'm really good with money and direction and planning and finance, but my ex is a CPA. So he was in charge of all that for our family, and it was disastrous. And then he would put me in some of the, position to make decisions about things that weren't in my wheelhouse, right? And so if we would have known the information and set it up so that we were each living our genius and our strength, you know, it makes all the difference. So that's what I love doing with my client. And it works with, you know, what we do in our business. Just because you know how to do your accounting doesn't mean you should do it, right? I went to business school. I have a business degree. I learned accounting. I know how to do my books, but I hate it, right? Four months, I look it back and I'm like, I haven't done my books in 4 months. Okay, well, if I'm procrastinating that much, I shouldn't be the one doing them even if I can't. So that's what I do, is help you figure out who you are, what you're good at, and quit trying to be something you're not. It's so freeing, you know, I love giving my clients permission to, you know, do something they love or give it up that they shouldn't be doing it. It's amazing. So
for people who are thinking, okay, that's fine, I'm not sure about the astrology, I'm not sure about human design and all that kind of thing, but they're listening and they're thinking, this rings true. What would you do? What would be the, say, first couple of steps that someone could take to start tuning into that?
Yeah. So sometimes you just have to try it out, because I find that I don't know too many people that don't wonder why it's so accurate, right? People don't have to understand it to learn from it. And it's funny that these kinds of things are things that people question to me. And you know what? It's not for everybody, but how many of us really understand how a cell phone works or how a car works? Or, you know, I'm sure back in the 1920s or whenever the first cars were made, there were, I'm sure, 90% of the population were like, this is evil. This is going to change everything. We're not going to do it, right? And then eventually it becomes part of life. Same with the TVs, you know. They were appalled, the people that had one TV. Now we have 10 TVs in our houses. Every room has one, and every, you know, so the accuracy of it, I think sometimes most people decide that it outweighs the skepticism, because you really get nailed, you know, and either you're not doing it, but it sounds really good. I had a lady one time when I was doing her hands, and she had a party. I used to do all these parties where I'd go to people's houses and I would do, like I talked to you about your heart line, and I'd read everyone's heart line. And there were a lot of times, like this one lady, she was super skeptical, and I told her what her heart line said. And she said, that's not me at all. I don't do any of that. This is so not accurate. And she was, you know, and I said, well, how would it sound? How does it sound to be like this? She's like, well, it sounds amazing, right? But she didn't have permission, because she had real fire hands, just like what I told you, where, you know, take care of yourself first. And she had these programs that wasn't allowed. There was no permission for it. And so when I turned it around and said, well, how would it sound to be like that? You should have seen, like, the look that came over her face. that is what I would love to be, but I don't have permission to be it. And the hands don't lie. It is how you're designed. And so, you know, I don't know, you know, it isn't for everybody. And I don't try to convince people, but I know the people that are willing to, you know, let it go that they don't understand it, just like they drive a car, or use a cell phone, or you turn on a computer. You know, it is scientifically based though. What qualifies something as scientifically based is repeated results, right? Over and over again, the same results. And this has that. And, you know, people believe in the Bible. Well, God didn't write the Bible. God inspired people to write the word, right? And most people, I mean, there are some, but a lot of people don't question that. But this is really the way the download was for this information also. The scientific hand analysis and the human design were both downloaded in the late 80s. And it was because there was a lot of extra information floating around in the universe, and some people are sensitive and pick it up. And these complex systems were developed out of it that have really been changing. You know, there's a lot of organizations, big organizations now, that have started learning the human design from a business perspective. It's called BG5 when it's from a business perspective, and human design is more for the personal. So I've trained in both, but the BG5 is really about how organizations work. And we automatically do a lot of the things anyways. And it's like, look, going into the people and the systems that are really successful and dissecting it, you can explain it through this system. So it's so powerful. But if you're skeptical, you know, go online and get your free report and then read up on some of it and see like if it sounds like you, and if it doesn't, does it sound really good and you wish you did that? So it's very empowering though.
So tell us more about the human design profiling. How does it work? If people are interested in it, what can it tell you? Be an advertisement now for human design.
Yeah.
I'm already convinced. You don't have to convince me. But I'm like, anyone listening, let us know.
So it combines several different systems. The I Ching, it combines the chakra system, and it uses astrology and the tree of life. So these are all different ancient modalities that they put into, layer them together. And what it does is you start to learn how you're designed to operate in the world. You learn, like I was talking about, the different energy types. There's a lot of people, 21% of the population is what they call, as one of the types, is a projector. And they're really designed to be the advisor, the teacher, the mentor. They're not designed to go into the workforce and work hard every day. But because we're the majority of the people are designed that way, they think they're wrong, or they're always out of alignment. They struggle with their results because they're not doing them. They're not aligning with their genius. So you learn like what your public role is. You learn like what it is. Some people are here just about themselves. They're not here to transform others, or they're here to figure out things that then get universalized. And, you know, like some people just really go through trial and error, and they're trying to find all the ways, they find all the ways that don't work. And then finally they will find the way, and then society benefits, right? And then some people are here to watch what everyone's doing, and they have a higher perspective to help people and guide them. And they just have a wisdom. It's just in their makeup. But what happens is that we oftentimes just don't know. We don't know that about ourselves. We don't know what we're good at, or we dismiss things. So you can learn how you're designed to make decisions. Also, your human design tells you it's called your authority. And so what it does is teaches you your decision-making process. And so it is never the mind, right? Our decisions don't come from our head. They come from our body. They come from our gut response. They come from what our heart desires. They come from our emotional ride and our emotional clarity. So everyone has a different authority that is designed to guide them through life. And it's amazing to me, you know, now that I've learned this, I can't say that I always use it, right? We still, But I can say that when I look back on times when I didn't listen to it and I did, or I went against what my gut feeling was or against what I knew, that's, if I would have listened, the message was there. And so learning that, it has been amazing for me. And then also, why do I like to do some of the things I like to do? You know, one of the things, the emphasis in a human design chart is where the sun was activated at the time you're born, right? Just like in astrology, like if you get an astrology reading, if I ask somebody, what's your astrology sign? They're always going to tell me their sun sign, right? They don't know where the moon was. They don't know where Pluto was. They don't know where Libra, you know, like what was in Libra. They just know their sun. Sometimes they might know a little more, but it's because it's 70% of the energy. And so in human design, it's, they call them gates where the sun or the planets are activating. And so what I learned was my activation, the primary activation is in the queen gate, and it's about managing the realm. And it's the teacher and the educator and making the provider and tribal. And I already do that, right? But I didn't know that was why. And so it really helps. It really helped me to quit trying to figure out what are you supposed to do. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to teach. You're supposed to take care of, you know, what the future generations are going to go through. And you're like, the buck stops with you. And that is the role that I usually take, but sometimes I fight it. So it helped me to kind of step into it and, you know, interact in a different way and just own who I am and own what I'm not. I don't try to be what I'm not. So there's so much information. There's also ways of like how you're designed to eat, how you're designed to.
Really?
Yeah, the environment that's really good for you, how you think about things, what motivates you. There's all kinds of information in it. So it goes really deep. So
what does it tell you? What did it tell you about what you have to eat in your environment? Give us an example.
Okay. So the way I'm designed to eat, it's called low, which means that I'm designed to eat when it's quiet and there's not a lot of noise and disruption, because that's how my body consumes information, consumes food. And if I eat whatever, I can pretty much eat whatever I want as long as I'm in a quiet place when I eat. Some people, so one of my kids is, it's called direct, and he is affected by the sun. So he is supposed to eat when the sun's out. So, you know, he's in his early 20s and he stays up all night, computer stuff, and he's eating pizza at midnight. I'm like, no, that's not why your good. Stomach hurts.
Yeah.
You know, and some people are sensitive to how hot or cold the food is. So some people are really only designed to eat room temperature or colder food. And some people, they only eat hot food. So there's several different, there's more than that also. As far as the environment, what I am is called kitchens. And so what that means is it's a lot of alchemy going on. Yeah. So I really, you know, like I'm one of those people that I can go sit in a coffee shop and I don't hear any noise around me because things are being created. Things are noisy. There's hustle and bustle. And that's where I thrive. Right. So, and other people say, I don't know how you think in there. Right. Because they're designed to be by the water and in a calm, serene place like that, where I'm designed to be, where creation's being made, transformation. And then other people are designed to be, it's called caves, where you're in a dark, private place and you don't really always want people coming in there. And, you know, it's funny when I've given readings to my friends and talked to, you know, they'll have a kid that they want like a high bunk bed and they want to drape down and they want to have like, they don't want to come out. They want a convertible car. You know, they always want it dark. They build forts. And then I go do their chart and their design is the environment of caves. So it's just interesting. Yeah, it's so fascinating.
And you think about how the world was in lockdown, how that messed with a lot of people's natural environment.
Yeah. So, and you know, it was beneficial for some and destructive for others, you know, it just, but I just find that, you know, the more I understand about my chart, the more I can be me and the more, more fulfillment I have, the happier I am. And, you know, it's just nice to know when you're having a problem, there's how to fix it and what's going wrong. So like for my design, if I'm not making enough money, it's because I'm not doing what I love. Because whenever I'm doing what I love, the money's there. And that's part of my design also. So, yeah.
I love that. Whenever we're doing what we love, the money's there. Tell me about the mind games.
Okay. So a lot of the healing work that I started doing when I was really trying to figure all these things out and my health issues and everything like that was really how you think about things, right? So just for instance, you could be driving along and someone rear ends you and no one's really hurt. But now like you got to wait for a tow truck, your car's damaged, kind of ruined your day, whatever. So, you know, some people will just be thankful that no one was really hurt while somebody else can be derailed and angry and let that whole situation ruin their whole day, right? And so that's a mindset thing, because the same thing is happening to the same person, two different people, the same situation, and the reaction is totally different. And so what happens is you lower your vibration. So if you're always angry and mad about it, your vibration is going to be vibrating at a lower level. Who wants to be around someone that's angry like that, right? We all have those situations where we walk into a room and you don't even know someone, but they bring you up, right? And you don't know why you're attracted to them, but there's, you know, they raise your energy level. And a lot of that will be, so now you attract from a higher level and now you can have more things. It's all working in vibration. But, you know, if you grew up thinking that there's never enough money or all the rich people are greedy, so what happens is you get programs in your unconscious mind about that. And they're passed down in your DNA. You can develop them from experience. Some people think, you know, it comes from past lives and with your soul. But the bottom line is that if you think all rich people are greedy and you think all rich people don't deserve the money that they have and you think they're all mean and that's the filter you look through, then that's what you're going to see. And guess what? Your unconscious mind doesn't want you to be viewed as greedy and a mean person and all that. So it will never allow you to have any money. It blocks it. That's where we get sabotage. You know, whatever we think, our mind then creates that reality. And we've all had those times when, you know, you can see how we all look through our own filter because, you know, if you take a man and a woman and you have them walk through a mall and get to the other side and ask them, so what stores were in there? They're going to tell you different things, right? Because the reticular activating system in their brain, they focus on what they think about. The guy's going to see the golf store. The guy's going to see, you know, the food court, and the girl's going to see the lingerie and the kids' toys or whatever, because that's what they're programmed to look at. So it's the same thing in life. If we're programmed always to look at the negative side of it, it has an effect on our reality. So one of the techniques that I've used, I've trained in NLP and also in theta healing, where you're actually rewiring the brain, because the brain's like a computer. And if you have negative programs in your brain, it runs malware all the time. You know, it doesn't matter if your computer has malware on it, the things won't work right. So it's the same thing in our brain. We got to get rid of the thinking like that and think about really like what it is you want to create and what would be the problem with it. You know, what's holding you back from being there? You know, some people don't make enough money because they're afraid if they made more money, they'd make more than their parents. And then that would be a disrespect. Or then everyone's going to come after them, right? The wealthy people, you know, think about how they're afraid to be used. They're afraid to be, you know, taken advantage of, or does someone really like me, or they want my money? So I know that I was going through that a lot when I was first starting on my journey. No matter what I did, I couldn't really make any money. And I realized that when I was married, I had quite a bit of money and I was always helping everyone. And if anyone needed anything, they'd always call me. If they needed help with their kids, they needed a meal for something, or the school needed, you know, a new desk or a new computer, I was always asked. And then when I went through my divorce and I hadn't worked for a long time, I didn't really have any money. And at that same time, I lost a lot of my friends going through relationship stuff. That happens, right? And so I was really keeping myself broke for a long time because then I knew if you were my friend, that you really liked me and not just what I could do for you. So I had to really work on those beliefs that everyone was going to use me and give myself teachings and rewire my brain to know that I could have money and friends at the same time without it being dangerous, because it felt dangerous to me. So that's the kind of stuff I work with when I'm listening to people. You know, I give them their whole blueprint, right? So I was really scared. When I found out that I'm made to be like on the stage and in front of an audience and speak my message, I had such low self-esteem that was terrifying to me. And so I had to work on all of those things of, you know, getting all those reprogramming my brain to be in a positive way in order to be able to do that. So a lot of times when you get your blueprint, here's this blueprint for success, your human design chart, right? Your hands are red and it's like, this is your formula. And it's scary because look at what you'd have to do to actualize it. And so that's when I work on mindset with people is like, okay, let's figure out why you're sabotaging. Let's figure out what's the problem and what's getting in the way and now create something new. It's so exciting when you finally get out of your own way, right? And then get to business. And then the impact you make, it's so satisfying. Yeah. So yeah, that's how they all fit together.
Beautiful. So what's your personal mindset rewiring that you're doing at the moment? What is something that you're working on?
Well, you know, I've kind of been working on, I've had a lot of bumps in the road lately, and I'm really been clear that how I handle things, right? Letting go of material items, letting go of my expectations of things. Or, you know, when I think back on when I got married 30 years ago, and I think, my life is not what I thought it was going to be, right? But getting rid of those expectations and then getting clear on what I do want and where my priorities are. And so like right now, my priorities, my kids are 18, 20, and 23. And my priority is really supporting them so that they have a positive future. And they take all my classes and they hate all the things I say to them. They don't want me to fix them. But you know what? They really learned a lot too. And they really, you know, I just wish I had had this at their age. And as much as they fight me, I find them doing what I've told them. And so, you know, that's my journey right now is that I've kind of put what I'm really wanting to create. I'm creating it at the same time that I'm really honoring and focused on them. So, and actually, you know, over the last couple of years, it's been, I was able to spend time with them on a different level because everyone was home. You know, so instead of being upset that I was home all the time and all the restrictions, I really took the time to know that I was able to connect with my adult children. And actually, our relationships have all changed. My relationship with each one of my kids separately and their relationships together. So, you know, that's what I'm always looking at is well, what good came out of it? You know, and a lot of things I reinvented in my business, things that I wasn't doing that I'm now doing, or some things that I didn't have time to do, that space was created, you know. So that is, so for the month of July, I have a coaching group and our goal was no complaining. And everyone thought that was going to be so easy. And so they had a rubber band on their wrist and every time they're at the grocery store and they're mad because the line's too long, or they're mad because someone said, you know, this or the traffic or whatever, they have to snap it. And you start to really realize, and I had one person realize, like, her husband didn't know what she was doing. But 3 weeks into it, he said, you know, you seem a lot happier. And what it was she wasn't complaining about anything, right? I think the things are still there. The things still happen. And that's the thing is the choice on your response, because that's all you have control over. Because I just know in my life, every time I turn around, it's something else. And I'm just much better with going with the flow because it doesn't change the situation. It just makes it an icky process, right? So I think that's really where I am right now, is just kind of riding the wave of life and trying not to react negatively and really no complaining.
You talked before we went on air about the last 6 months being unusual, being a big life lesson. There's been lots in that. Can you divulge what's going on? Because I found the same. The last 6 months, you know, 2020, I was empowered to take action and did more in my business than anything, double my income again. And yet 2021, it's been like,
what?
Pause.
Yeah.
Very, very weird dynamic going on. Good, but weird.
Yeah.
How's it been for you?
It's been a rocky ride, man. One week I had like all three of my cars, my kids' cars, like all three of them were out of commission all at one time. I had another thing where, you know, I was forced to move. And so I felt like I was just being pushed off this ledge, and I was looking at where Pluto was in my chart, the transiting Pluto, and realized, oh, this is about my transformation. And it's about giving stuff up, because Pluto is about death and rebirth, right? So when you go through a Pluto something, it shifts everything. It feels icky when you're going through it, but when you get to the other side, everything's completely different and puts you right where you're supposed to be. So as I was going through that, and as I was having to move, and I had all three of my kids living with me, and they all three had to go to different places, and their real estate market was like, we couldn't even find a place to go. It was pretty crazy. But then I just realized, like, there were some positives, you know. It's hard to look at when there were negatives, but, you know, having to move, I didn't want to move. Having to, you know, discombobulate my kids. And then it was like bad timing, because it was right before they were getting ready to go to college. But then there's this limbo time, you know, and it was just, I really realized that this is just like, so how are you going to handle this? Are you going to be depressed and curl up in a ball and sit in the corner? Or are you just going to put your boots on and keep going? So, I had relationship stuff. I had betrayal in my business. I had like all kinds of stuff. And I'm like, what is going on here? So, I just really felt like I was being tested, and hoping, I just kept saying, you know, I can't see the benefit in this work from where I'm standing. And I'm just going to, you know, in the past, when I look back at tragedy, you know, when you get fired from the job, and then you never would have left the job to get the better one, right? Or, you know, when your car is screwed up, and then you end up like, you weren't thinking of buying a new car, but now you love your new car, you know, and then like the financial support comes in. We make so many decisions based on what we think we can afford rather than what we want. And when we do what we want, the financial comes into support, but it doesn't work in the reverse. So I had that several times where I was feeling forced to make purchases that I didn't want to, but now I love it, right? So it's all of that, just this, but this last 6 months, I felt like every couple of weeks there was another thing that was in my face, you know? And then dealing with adult children and their issues going on, you know, and, you know, but now I've gotten to the point where I'm really excited for where they've landed and for, you know, the growth that they've had and what's coming for them, you know? So again, trying to focus on that rather than, always a learning experience. And then you get to realize like my reaction to things that had happened, that normally what my response might've been like 10 years ago and how I respond now. And I'm like, wow, I've done some personal growth, right? I've worked on myself.
So it's almost like the last 6 months has been a mirror to see, or not necessarily mirror, but it was like a report. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I've actually made, and I think we're a lot of us encourage the listeners right now. Yeah, when you're going through a tough time now, think back to how you probably would have handled it 5 years, 10 years ago, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
That's a real measure. Whereas we often think, take the temperature right now. But if you take it over, It's like world, you know, like the, you know, they do the averages of the world climate. That like could be today, but if you look back, wow, there's a change. That is fascinating. We're coming to a close. Is there anything else you'd like to share with the listeners that we haven't, that's burning on your heart?
I just hope that people, if you're in a place that you don't want to be, turning your focus to where you do want to go, and don't sit in that same place, keep moving, figure out how to fix it, get help, get some support from someone, I always work with coaches. I'm always doing healing work on myself, and it's so impactful, and it really makes you have a full life. So, and if there's something that you really want to do, do it. Don't wait. I love just giving permission to my clients. I love just, saying, what's the worst that can happen? If you don't like it, but you might look at all the opportunity you might miss by not trying. So find out who you are, connect with your passions. Don't let anyone tell you you can't do it. And just go for it. Live life. I mean, I realized how much I wasn't really living my life. I was doing everything I should be doing, everything I was expected to do. And it wasn't that, it didn't feel good. So now I really, I say no when I don't want to do something. And I say yes and create the fun parts that I want to do. And I work with the clients I want to work with. I don't work with clients that I'm not aligned with. All the things that used to derail me in the past. So I'm just here to give you permission. Permission to find joy, permission to love what you do, permission to do what you've been told you can't do. And, if you don't know what that is, then start your journey to find out.
Beautiful. I ask everyone this question, and it's a great way to end it. And I think your last answer actually answered it, but you might have something else to say. What does leading your day mean to you?
Leading my day means that the important things go in my day first, taking care of myself and honoring, who I'm here to serve and what I've committed to. But I think leading my day really just means that I put the things in my day that are important to me and fill me up so that I can be of service to more people.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Melissa.
Yeah, it was great talking with you.